Hello, friends. Welcome to a new episode of Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Comini. It is a joy to have you with us. What an eventful week it's been. I was literally vibrating and titillating. I don't know if that's the right word. I was very excited about recording this episode because so much has happened. But before that, let's just do the intros. This is Let's Talk Common Sense, where you can find out about what's happening in the news around the world. We try to have fun with it, so we bring lots of interesting guests. This is a new season. We of course have a video version of this podcast now on YouTube. Basically, we're taking advantage of this kind of online broadcasting era we're in, where everyone's just jumping on all these different platforms to do their podcast and give it a video. So if you're wondering, what does this Michael guy look like? Well, this is your chance. You log on to TCS Network on YouTube and you can see my lovely, well-lit face. I'm joking. I haven't had a haircut, of course, because we're in lockdown again. Anyways, I'm joined today by a great guest called Torin Joshua, who we're going to hear about in a minute. He's a student. And I'm inviting him on here because students seem to be the ones, spreading COVID. They're not staying locked in. They're traveling around. They're riding their bikes. They're doing all the stuff I can't say on air that students do. So we're gonna talk about that in a minute. But of course, this podcast is brought to you by the Common Sense Network, or Common Sense, where we bring people together who have different beliefs to come together and learn from each other. So, without further ado, Torin Joshua, how do you do, you student?
Hello. As you said, yes, I'm a student and I'm not one of them ones that you're talking about. So,
I'm only half joking, of course, because yeah. We've seen the numbers with this new strain of COVID. And by the way, for folks who are interested, the word in the street, and by that, I mean the word that was given at a COVID briefing to MPs and a special select committee in Parliament. But word on the street is the coronavirus, COVID-19, is mutated at least 25 different times. But we've got these two new strains that apparently infect a lot more people. And we've seen thousands die. We've now reached pretty much breaking point. We were told a few days ago by the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, that London was 21 days away from reaching crisis point. Now, everyone's to blame, but I suspect students who don't stay. I've seen people on Snapchat, on Instagram, having parties. Have you been one of these people?
Me personally, of course not. I'm not involved.
Of course.
I'm not involved. But no, I definitely know what you're saying. There are quite a few people that have just, at this point, had enough. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, especially, I think, you know what? I don't blame the students. I blame the government. Let me tell you why I did. There's, of course, we knew there was the whole pandemic and stuff going on. But at this point, before this tier four thing, everything was so up in the air. People didn't know really what could go on, what could not. Everyone's just kind of winging it. Do you know what I mean? So that's why, especially even from me, like, around October time, I thought everything was kind of okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot more flexible. You can do kind of what you want to. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, these parties of 100 and something people, that's nuts to me. But I thought it was definitely a lot more flexible. So the fact that it escalated to this, it's wild.
It's really interesting because I think people play the same game with COVID where, you know, me, for instance, obviously I've been abiding by the guidelines and, you know, whatever. But I stopped following the daily kind of count because of my mental health. I said, I don't want to keep, you know, reading about who's dying every day. But then you do that thing, don't you, where because you haven't heard any news about COVID, you suspect it's getting better. I'm like, I haven't heard about it in a while. You kind of think. And then you turn on the news and you're like, you hear record-breaking deaths, right?
Yeah, literally.
And you go, all right, it's not leaving. It's not going, you know. Now, for folks who are listening, go ahead.
I was gonna say that's so true, especially like before the tier three thing. I'm here thinking, oh yeah, it's gonna be calm. The vaccine's coming out. Everything seemed okay. Everyone's like, we're having Christmas, and then tier four out of nowhere. When tier four came, I was so baffled. I was like, what? Do you know what I mean? It was really confusing.
Ordinary people were just kind of confused. If you're diehard into this kind of stuff, and you're watching the news, you're watching the daily ticker, then you probably get it. But you're right. For the average person, it was like, Now, people who are listening, I want to hear if you are surprised by COVID and the fact that it seems to not be relenting. I mean, as you said, when news was announced that a new vaccine was coming, in part, I kind of thought, I did a little kind of, yes. Mm. And I thought, yeah. Now, it's the year you do where you see Andy Murray playing in Wimbledon. You know he's not going to win. But you just say, yeah, because he just might. But you know he's not going to win. Anyways, let us know. The hashtag is LTCS on Twitter. What you think, you know, about COVID and how it's been handled. What we're going to do today is kind of go through some of the news stories that's happening. And I'll get your perspective because I don't often talk to students on the podcast. So it'll be interesting to see what you think. It's interesting you're saying that you're kind of done and tired of COVID because just today, and today being Sunday, the day before we released this podcast, experts have been calling for tighter COVID-19 guidelines. And I want to hear what you think about some of these, Torin, because there's five different ways, according to the Daily Mirror, there's five different ways experts are calling for COVID measures to be tightened so as to actually combat the heightened numbers. One is a reintroduction of curfews, right? So Boris Johnson and number 10, they haven't ruled out the kind of French style full blown curfew where literally post 10 p.m. everything's closed and you need to be at home. Do you think you could stomach a 10 p.m. curfew?
I mean, as much as I'm done with like COVID and all these sort of things, personally, lockdown isn't bad for me. So I feel like I'm so used to it. Like, it's so weird because, during the middle of lockdown, I moved into this new accommodation for university. And it's crazy to think that since I've been here, I've been in some sort of lockdown. Like, I haven't really gone out to Manchester like I was last year and stuff. So in a weird way, like, now to think going back to normal, that doesn't even cross my mind. Like, it doesn't even feel normal to go back to normal. So if it went to curfew and stuff like that, me personally, it wouldn't really shake things up for me. I think for me, the thing that kind of stops and annoys me the most is stuff like gyms and like those sort of regular activities that kind of just keep you a bit sane. Do you know what I mean? I think it's when it goes to that, like that's the thing that impacted me the most. In terms of like the curfews and stuff, I can see definitely why it's just going to stress a lot of people out. But me personally, it doesn't really affect me too much.
When you say the closure of gyms impacted you, in what way did do that?
Because that was the only thing I was really doing besides work. It was the only extra activity. I was going out and I was in such a routine as well. Like it was a thing where because I could focus all my time on like going to the gym rather than like going out socializing, I was actually focused for this time. You know, I was really focused on going to the gym and all those sort of things. So it really took a part of my routine out and it kind of messed me up for especially the beginning of the January and stuff. It's really just disorganized me.
Yeah, I've heard people saying, you know, there's this narrative, I probably should say, that students are kind of, you know, at home, super low. There's this campaign. I would love to know if you've signed it, actually, to take tuition fees down to, what, 300, 3,000 or something? Did you sign that petition?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, let's talk a bit about that. So you... you think tuition fees should be cut? Why?
I mean, when you look at what university, I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm definitely more towards take it down. Do you know what I mean? Because for me, I look at what I always expected university to be and what the value of it was. And I'm here thinking, you know, it's the personal connection with the tutors. It's being able to utilize the spaces.
Oh, come on. Regardless
whether I use it, I think this is what they're offering. That's what they offer as a university, is being able to talk to your tutors, being able to do all these things and building personal connections like with your class. I haven't met any of my classmates this year. Do you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, especially for the freshers, these guys are going to university. There's literally the social aspect of uni is gone. Take some money away from that. The learning aspect, the quality of learning for me personally isn't even the same. Like I've literally been teaching myself for the last like 3-4 weeks. And it's just that kind of element of when you're online, I guess it is kind of like a personal thing, but you don't feel like you want to interact. You're not able to engage in the debates and stuff as much because people are too busy looking at who's talking and whether you can butt in or not and that sort of stuff. And it's just, I think there's just a lack of engagement, and I think that's just something that contributes to the whole university experience for me.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, saying for me doesn't let you off the hook. Just so you're aware, I'm still coming for you. And the reason I'm coming for you is because I think the younger generation, to use that term, you know, just want everything for free. The first chance they get of because let's be honest, when university was live, obviously, you know, your mum may be listening, so I'm sure you're an upstanding student. Every lecture that went to every single, you know, office hour. But let's be honest, when I was in university, I can count on one hand the amount of times I went to an office hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure, my seminars were, I think, compulsory. But even still, you'd go, you would, you know, answer questions when asked, and you'd
leave. Yeah.
So what have you been robbed from, really? Mm-hmm. Is it the fact that, is that the connection thing you said?
I guess that's why I'm two minds about it, because I was similar to that. Like last year, I didn't really need to use all of that, really. It was like even lectures, I was very selective about which ones I went to and stuff like that. But I think it's, I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about the people that I know in my class were going to these extra sessions, going to all these little things that I was just like, oh, okay, cool. And I know speaking to people in the group chat and stuff, they're really like, what am I actually paying for? Do you know what I mean? A good thing is that I'm lucky that I'm good at teaching myself things and stuff like that. But I know there's people out there that was actually going and spending time with teachers and doing all these things, and they're the ones that are getting robbed. So it's sticky. I don't know.
It is sticky. It's clearly very sticky. A very strong adhesive has been applied. Now the other two, or three rather, changes that experts are suggesting is that nurseries be closed. We know we had that hoo-ha with Gavin Williamson changing his mind last minute. Boris Johnson first telling us that, hey, schools are super safe, and then telling us actually they're not safe. So now we know that schools and universities, Torin, will remain closed to at least mid-February based on how the vaccine program goes. We're being told that we should actually get to the stage where we close nurseries too. On top of that, and for someone like me who lives alone, another thing that's been said is that support bubbles should be banned as well, which kind of made me go, oh gosh, this is crazy. And I'll give you the last two, and then we'll talk a bit about them, because this is where I think it's a bit kind of, oh, done. This is going to start a big debate. Because one thing that experts are saying is that the public, right, should be told to wear masks outside, right? And making it compulsory to extend that kind of mask wearing to being outside as well. Of course, we know all the people who will say this is an abuse of my freedom. I should have a chance wherever I want. And the last one, this is when I hit the roof, right? This last suggestion, again, this article is in the Daily Mirror, was that exercise outside. Remember, at the first lockdown, you can go out, you can exercise one time a day. And we saw people calling, you know, the police saying, it's the fourth time. She's going for a fourth time. That kind of thing. Here's the new one. They are saying that exercise should be limited outside to 1 hour a day.
Interesting. Okay. So how are they going to, like, police that?
Well, this is the thing. There's this big debate about these laws. These aren't laws. They're things you're meant to obey in spirit.
Like suggestions.
Yeah. Well, strong suggestions. In fact, on that, have you seen this week? I sent a picture or video in the group chat not too long ago about the police in Brighton, and or in Bournemouth rather. There was a group of people who were sat at the beach having a cup of tea. And the police came and arrested them because, of course, you're not allowed to link up with people outside your household.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying this is the police state, this is a nanny state. What do you make of all these different restrictions? As a young person, this is where I think it's actually interesting to get your perspective. Now, as a young person who is like, you know, you're young, you've got a high top, for folks who are listening to the podcast, you've got a beard that's almost ready. You know, when you hear these restrictions, do you go, you know what, I'm patriotic, I'm taking one for the country, or do you just go, nope, not buying it?
You know, it's difficult. I think for me, I personally don't have an issue with the restrictions. Like, we've done the lockdown thing already. Do you know what I mean?
And I think five new ones as well. You're okay with those?
Even those, I see why it's necessary. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can see why it's necessary. However, I don't understand how they're going to police it, just like most of the suggestions that they've been doing. I think the reason why I'm most frustrated about it is because it's been so on and off for so long. Like, it's just been so back and forth. Everything's okay, nothing's okay. Do you know what I mean? I think if they just locked it down from November or whatever, I would be fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it would have got to a point where none of this would have got to this level. And I think that's what a lot of people are frustrated about, is the confusion whether schools are safe, they're not safe. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of the people that I'm around, they've been saying, let's just go into national lockdown. And they're okay with doing that for the long run, if it means we don't have to keep going back and forth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I try to cut the government some slack sometimes, because I know you're trying to balance that, you know, people's freedoms, personal freedoms, with, you know, the need to protect us and stuff like that. So I'm not too worried about that. In terms of
what do you think they care about more?
You mean the current government, the Boris Johnson's government? What do you care about more? Well, I have a very well-recorded history in terms of my belief about our current prime minister. I don't think he's malevolent. I actually attribute a lot of stuff he does to just incompetence, if I'm honest. Boris Johnson has always wanted to be prime minister. He is by far the most unlucky man in the world, because he finally gets what he wants, and the office is clearly too heavy for him. His knees are buckling under the weight of the office, because he's just not fit for the office. We've seen that with the dithering, with the changing of minds, with the kind of just really flippant way he just changes his mind. I mean, he just doesn't exude at a time like this. And there's an article coming out on TCS Network later on this week about, would Jeremy Corbyn have been a better leader for this time? I have my thoughts on Jeremy Corbyn. Not sure. But I really miss the days of political juggernauts. There was a time where we had real men and women that could command and you know, they really exuded. Don't know what that word is. Exude. I don't know the word. But they had this kind of thing about them. I'm thinking about the Gordon Browns or the Tony Blairs, of course. Yes, I know. It didn't end well. But when I think about these people, I mean, even John Prescott, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Was he a deputy prime minister for a while? Anyways, they had a thing about them that you could trust them. You believed in them. And of course, what's happened over the last few years is trust for public figures has slowly gone down the drain, right?
Yeah.
Less and less people trust political figures, less and less people trust political institutions, and, for a segue, less and less people trust big tech companies. Because this week also, we saw the banning. And now you're thinking, how did he do that segue? This guy. Magical.
We don't pay you enough.
That's unbelievable, Jeff. This week, we saw Twitter finally ban Donald Trump's account. Now, you're clapping, okay. You claps on one side, but, you know, I don't know what to call it. Just the amount of vitriol I've seen online about Jack Dorsey and who's the robot that runs Facebook again?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Funniest thing ever is watching him taking questions from the Senate, and he's just trying to look normal, and it's just like the way he drinks water is odd. He's kind of like.
Oh, it is.
So, I don't know if I should even catch people up by now, because I reckon everyone must know what's happened, right?
Yeah.
But you clapped for Donald Trump losing his Twitter account. 88 million followers gone. Why are you celebrating?
I don't even have like a personal thing against him like that. I just like how I woke up and that day I saw that picture on the American news that said all the things that banned him, and I was like, how did it get to this? This is amazing to look at. Do you know what I mean? After everything, this is just so nice to look at. Just
Google. Nice to look at. The man's lost
everything.
A lot of his media empire, really. I mean, rumors are he was planning to launch a news network after. So he's lost all of that. You think that's a good thing?
I obviously see why it's a bad thing. And I don't think in the wider scale, judging it objectively and stuff like that, do I think it's good? I'm not sure. I haven't really come to a conclusion yet. But I just think personally, it's taking away that power, that extra bit of power that he had. Because as much as we can talk about what he did in the office and stuff, but the stuff that he was doing online is, you know, equal to sort of just the mess about he was on. Do you know what I mean? And I think... Yeah. Taking that side away from it, as well as him no longer being president, is kind of like, okay, let's see what he's really going to do now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we won't see.
Exactly.
On national TV. So, I mean, I suspect we probably should bring some people up to speed with everything that's happened. But essentially, we know for the last few weeks and months now, Donald Trump has been denying the outcome of the US elections. He's been saying that elections were stolen from him. And him and his team and his chief lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, they actually made arguments to several judges. They filed over 14 cases, I believe, alleging voter fraud and saying that the vote was stolen and there were systemic problems with the voting systems. Of course, every single case they filed, they lost. And the judges concluded there was no voter fraud. In fact, the head of, I think, the safety team for the election said this was the most safest elections they've had in history. Now, Trump's continued on Twitter primarily, but also across his social media outlets to say that, you know, the election was stolen and fraudulent. Now, just last week, Congress was meeting to do the final kind of sign off, if you like, for the inauguration on the 20th of this month. And of course, Donald Trump takes a rally where at the rally, he tells them, we've got to be strong. We're going to march down to the Capitol and tell people that what they're doing is wrong and blah, 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 blah. Now, Rudy Giuliani, his chief lawyer, comes up after him and says, we've got to trial by combat. Trial by combat is what he's shouting at the top of his lungs. Now, Donald Trump says he's going to lead this group of thousands of people. Guess what Donald Trump does as soon as he finishes speaking?
What?
He goes back to the White House. And so thousands of people go to the Capitol. Of course, you've seen the scenes. They lay siege there. They break into the Capitol. They go into the Speaker's office, Nancy Pelosi. They take her letter. They smash things up, you know. And Donald Trump watches this happen for over 30 minutes, knowing that he could tweet, guys, let's stop. Does nothing at all. And keeps on denying the election. So Twitter, who have a policy against incitement to violence, decide that enough's enough, and they block him. And so now he's lost those 88 million followers he spent his whole adult life building. How would you feel if you lost your Twitter account, Torin?
I mean, if I had 88 million followers and I was as opinionated as him... I think it's a big deal to him. That's power at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? It's those people that are going much and they're looking at what he's saying every minute. Do you know what I mean? And I think he's going to have to really think of a new, I don't know what he's going to do. I feel like he is going to do something and he's going to be able to rally his people. I don't know how, but I think he's really going to have to really repackage that in a way. Maybe he's going to make his own platform. Who knows? But I think... It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be very... we're watching it very, very closely. Of course, on Monday, today, when this new podcast comes out, articles of impeachment are being discussed in the Senate or in the House. They're going to impeach him again. And when they impeach him, he loses a lot of privileges he would get after the presidency. That's why they're trying to impeach him. But it is very interesting to me to see what will happen. And in other news, similar social media news, I don't know if you saw it, but Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have both said they're going to be stepping away from social media very, very soon. They've only got an Instagram account, which I think has about 10 million followers. And they've said that, I'm not sure if they've given a timeline to it, like before the end of this year, but they've said that they're going to be stepping away from social media altogether because they just don't think they need to be on there anymore. I mean, Meghan Markle, when she married Prince Harry, became the most trolled person in the world. So they're stepping down. Maybe this is the year, Torin. We just need to get rid of all our social media.
Just get rid of all.
I think so. Why not? Just let's, in solidarity to Trump, let's all delete our Twitter accounts.
Okay.
is that a pledge? Are you pledging to do it? Is that a pledge from Torin today that you're going to delete your Twitter account?
If you do it, I'll do it.
you didn't say which Twitter account. I don't have a banner. I've just heard people say it. But should we get rid of it? I mean, I reckon we should, because of course I know we're going to talk about this all throughout this week. Another thing is this whole free speech thing, right? The idea that his free speech is being limited, so on and so forth. So what do you make of that argument?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that was actually kind of fighting for it, but agreeing why he should still have it and stuff like that. But I think because of the whole capital thing and how he incited that to some degree, I think that's an actual good premise for why he should be banned. But I think the whole freedom of speech thing is interesting, because does it really stop his privilege? Like, the internet is something that we get to use as a service, you know what I mean? And with that service comes things that we have to actually do. And if the way that he's operating and using it goes against that, then yeah, that privilege gets taken away. Do you know what I mean? He's still able to speak and shout on the street if he wants to, but that's just not what he was doing before. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting. But if people like Wiley and other people like that get their stuff taken away, then surely he should too. Do you know what I mean? When he's doing what he's doing,
that they are applying their rules evenly.
Yeah,
right, is what some people may say. Well, I take your point. We will be no doubt following these stories very, very closely over the next few days or so on our platform, Common Sense. That's tcsnetwork.co.uk. You can actually find journalists talking about a lot of these issues, from big tech and the power they have that's unchecked, to Donald Trump to Joe Biden, and whether Biden is actually this person we should all be excited for as he becomes president. What's Biden's America gonna look like? Will it look will it look like this, or will it change? I mean, people seem to forget that when Biden becomes president on the 20th, and when he moves into the White House literally the afternoon of the inauguration, he's inheriting an America where mass unemployment has just been announced. Yeah. America has never been as divided as it currently is. Literally, a few days before, people stormed the Capitol. That hasn't happened since the British invaded America 7 years ago, right? He's inheriting, I don't know how many it is now, I think 5,000 people or 4,000 people died from COVID in one day. He's inventing a crumbling economy. So the notion that Biden will come in and wave a wand and all of America's wealth will disappear is like, buddy, I'm not sure that's... what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Is what I have in my mind. But yeah, so folks, please do subscribe. Be a part of this growing family. You can join us by going to tcsnetwork.co.uk/join. And join our growing family. It's been really fun talking to you, Torin.
As always.
insight into how students live now.
Yeah, it's pretty, there's nothing really that different going on besides the fact that we're just missing out on chatting to other friends. You know what I mean? Really, that's about it. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this year pans out, especially this academic year, but then the year in general. You know what I mean?
I will be watching, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. But yeah, take care and speak soon.
Yeah.